Hi, and thanks for tuning in. My guest today is Seth Ravin, CEO of Rimini Street. Seth has written an article for Computer Weekly in which he says that organizations that will succeed are those with a sustainable operating model. Seth, what does that mean for workers?
What it means for jobs is we are going to have a tremendous labor shortage. And the only way we're going to overcome this shortage is using electronic agents to do the work of humans today. We're going to have to do organizational work with far less labor to reduce the total cost, because labor costs are the highest single cost in an organization.
You know what? I've only just covered Oracle's results. I don't know if you look closely. I know that Oracle is one of the companies that you must look at quite closely. And yeah, you know, I use AI as part of my job. So having run through the transcript of the audio of the earnings call, and you must have heard what they said. I mean, it's been reported, but they're using AI coders. They're using AI to code their applications, which is, you're paying a lot of money for Oracle software, right? If they can do that, you know, if Oracle can do that, and I'm sure other software companies are doing that, it shows that it's possible.
But remember, this whole thing you're watching on the stock market, this whole fear that software companies are going to be replaced by Claude and AI, and someone's going to wake up one morning and decide to completely generate an ERP program by telling Claude, please generate. That's not going to happen. These systems have hundreds of millions of lines of code. We do thousands of processes. They have to be audit trailed. We have to have auditors watching over transactional integrity, right? We have all these things that have to happen. It's not going to eat the complex software. However, what you're watching is to say simpler software that doesn't have so much compute, that doesn't have so much transactional calculations, things that are more data storage oriented, like CRM, where they're primarily a storage of a bunch of fields. Those are going to be much more susceptible to being generated by customers because of the fact they can be spun up with certain fields. It's the ones on the other end that are highly calculation oriented are going to be a whole different animal.
Can I ask you how Rimini Street is using AI?
Yes, we use AI in our support operation. And what we use it for is we don't replace humans. We actually make our engineers better engineers. Because what we're able to do is use AI first to route customers' cases much more accurately to the right and best resource and faster. For example, we look at nearly 40 different vectors: language, location, who has skills in this area, how big is their current caseload? And we are able to respond to customers on average of 2 minutes or less, 24/7. And we're only able to do that because we use technology to route the incoming calls to the right engineer. And what that means is, using AI, we've reduced our time to resolution for customers by almost 30%. That is a significant amount of return to the customers when you can keep a system that's mission critical running and we can respond 30% faster to actually solve the problem. That's a significant benefit.
Mm. Now, I mean, you weren't using AI in the past when I first started talking to you.
No, not years ago.
Has the technology, this is the growth of artificial intelligence within your business, has it allowed you to do more things? You've mentioned, obviously, you're more efficient, you're faster. But what else do you think is possible now that you understand how AI is helping you?
Well, we deployed Copilot, for example, to every employee in the company. And it's interesting, people go through a phase. We're still, for many companies and people in the world, we're still in the in the learning phase. We're in the experimental phase. We're trying to understand what we can do with this technology. Everybody hears AI, 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 right? But they don't really understand, what does it mean to me personally? How does this impact my life? And I'll tell you, me personally, I use Copilot, I use Gemini every single day. I ask it questions. I ask it to do research on information that I used to have to ask another person to do, wait a few days, say, can you get this for me next week? Now I literally type it in. I ask for, tell me how much the average cost is, for example, across Fortune 500s. How much do they spend on HR, for example? And Copilot gives me an answer and a full set of information inside of a minute. I would normally have had to give that to somebody, wait, you know, probably a week for them to go compile the information and then get it back to me. And I'm doing this every day. So it has truly been an amazing learning tool. I am learning more than I ever used to, because Copilot not only gives me the actual result, but it gives me information around it in context that helps me better understand the info. So I love it. I live with it every day. It's like my best assistant now.
I mean, that example that you've given is obviously directly related to your business and the business opportunity. Can you and do you trust the data, or do you have to go and second source it?
Well, because the fact that it does list a source, sometimes I'll go click and look at the source information that it's using. So the fact that we can look at the source and then make a judgment call. And when it comes to gathering statistics, things like that, I think that's one thing, extrapolating data. When it draws conclusions, we all need to learn to be a little skeptical, the same way we would listen to a news report or we would read a book to make sure, you know, the old expression, tell me a problem and I'll show you the numbers that support it, right? We live in a world where you could find some statistics to support anything if you're trying to curve it in that direction. And so I think you have to approach it with the same level of healthy skepticism to make sure that your sources, the information looks reasonable and right. And it doesn't hurt to use a couple different ways to approach it to make sure you triangulate and get the same type of information. But I don't think it's different than we've been living. I think it just provides information in a faster way and often much more useful than we've been able to get in the past.
Okay, I've got one final question, and I'm trying to formulate it. So Rimini Street provides third-party support for enterprise software. I'm looking at the development of AI models that is changing every 3 months. I don't know if organizations will standardize on a model or standardize on a suite of models and say, well, we'll use a couple of them. But I can't imagine them keeping pace with the level of intensity of what the industry is doing at the moment. Do you think that will lead to a support crisis? Is that something can you ask AI to answer that question? Maybe.
What's happened in the last 6 years is more technological innovation than the 60 years previous. It is moving at a fast pace. So I just gave a presentation down in Texas talking about, look, all you can do, you don't even know which AI product you might use in the future. It's changing so fast. We don't know who the winners are going to be. I'll bet on Microsoft is one of them because they have such a large base of customers around the world. You know, they're destined to be an automatic winner in this category. Okay. But the other categories, you know, we believe ServiceNow with their strong workflow engines, they've got certain capabilities, right? Bill's doing a great job there, building out their suite of solutions and they want to be the train tracks that everyone runs on, right? They want to be the governance model. They understand others may bring their agents. They want to be the guys who run them, oversee them. And so they're working on their strategy. So I think, like in any industry, there will be two or three key winners at the top of the heap. Now, we don't know all who they are. This is a, we're watching the horse race in real time, right? Every day. Oh, Anthropic moves ahead. Oh, you know, ServiceNow buys another company, right? We've watched some companies struggling in this area. You know, our partners Workday, you know, great company, but they've been struggling a little bit to become a platform here. Salesforce is trying to get their agents out there, but every, you know, you got a lot of people in this mix, but we all know that you could have a three-person startup in Silicon Valley that could upend everything. Mm. You know, we've seen it. They could have a company that's more valuable than General Motors, right? Inside of a few months, we're in that kind of a market again. And so, no, you can't keep up. And so what you have to do is build frameworks, and you have to build a methodology. And you have to say, look, I don't know who the horse race participants are going to be, but I'm going to build my business around the idea there is a horse race. I'm going to build my business around the idea that there will be AI in the mix. And you build frameworks that's really around governance. Okay, we can't AI wash everything. It's amazing. I watch, you know, we've all seen this. There are many things that we can solve in problems without using AI. AI is not just a miracle, it's a tool. But we have many tools in our tool bag, right? I can solve a lot of problems through better processes. I can do it through automation of processes. Those aren't even getting to the agentic component. Those aren't even without an agent. I can do those things and have huge amounts of capability improved in my organization without even getting to the word agent yet. Mm. Agents bring the next level of capability for reducing labor costs. And that is where, again, most organizations are still not even at the let's get better processes, right? There's a lot that can be done without having to use an agent. And let's not all agent wash everything, right? We don't always need to bring a hammer to every little problem we have, right?
Yes, and I've got, well, that was going to be my final question, but let's do your final thoughts, okay? So we are hearing a lot of talk. I mean, I just did a story, and this was, we go back to the start of the conversation, it was about Oracle's results, actually. But that was just a hook to look into how these companies are getting funded. They're taking on a lot of debt. No surprise, surprise. Well, actually, it's a big risk, right? You take on a lot of debt, that's a huge risk. Now, is it a bubble? Is this going to come and bite them at some point? Have they bitten off more than they can chew? Sorry, I'm mixing all of my metaphors, but you know what I mean, yes?
Well, okay, well, let's look at how the stocks have reacted, right? Oracle was up to $350. They're now, they've had a good boost from earnings yesterday, but that only brings them, I think, to 160 today, right? You have a lot of these stocks down 30, 40%. And part of it is because they're taking on significant amount of CapEx costs, right? They want to build data centers. It's all about building data centers. That's compute. But look what happened. Do you remember when DeepSeek came out? How all of these guys, the data center stocks all tumbled because all of a sudden it was like, wait a minute, we can do some of this work without nearly as much compute power as we thought we would need. So the real risk that I think you're watching is not to build the data centers, but are we going to build too many? Are we going to get more efficient in the technology to the point where we don't need all of that capacity? That is what you're really watching is, okay, you tell them you're going to build $1 trillion of data centers and nuclear power plants to drive them. Is the business going to be there? Are you going to be able to make money? Look at telcos. Look at the challenge they have. It is such a hyper-competitive market, they can't make money. You know, you've got a $30 handset goes to 25 down to 20. Meanwhile, they have to subsidize the phones. They have to build infrastructure. And they're sitting there on their whiteboard with one question asking, saying, how are we going to make money in 5 years? This is why you come back to the original point. I'm saying that the winning companies will have the lowest cost to serve across their enterprise. Low enough that they can have a profit and still be cheaper than their competitor. And you have to have a good product. You don't have to have a great product, but you have to have a good product, be able to make money. You got to get that cost down. And that's where you're going to watch. AI is all about changing that labor cost, which is the cornerstone of everyone's total cost. Getting that down, being able to run an enterprise or a government agency with far less labor, that is the answer to bringing costs down through the organization.
Thanks for tuning in. You can find the podcast and full article on www.computerweekly.com.